T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Barring a defensive foul, this will be final play of regulation, one way or another. Herbert firing, and it is going to be caught in the end zone by the big body Mike Williams. Insanity. Maybe you take it down if you're the Raiders as far as you can at 3rd and 4. Now what? Chargers take a timeout.
What?
Yeah,
I think the Raiders were playing to get it down to either a field goal or just let the clock run out, and the Chargers took the timeout.
You guys are still tied. You're driving. This thing could have ended in a tie. Chargers call a timeout. How did that shift the strategy?
Yeah, it definitely did, obviously.
47-yard attempt for a man who's been money.
Biggest pick of the year for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Snap good, hold good, and Raiders in, Chargers out, Steelers in.
That's how it ended last night. Al Michaels on the call with Chris Collinsworth. Unbelievable football game. Look, we've been talking about it all week when the situations came up. You know, depending on what Indianapolis did, if they lost, these two teams could tie. People are talking about kneeling it out. It's like, nah, I'm not going to kneel it out. But I tell you, if it gets late in the game and say San Diego was down 7 and they scored late, what would Staley do? Would he kick the extra point, go to overtime, or go for 2? Like a lot of these analytics like to do, as we saw last night, he kicked the extra point to go to overtime. I tell you what, this guy here, if I'm the general manager, I'm looking at Brandon Staley and say, okay, we got to sit down and talk about game strategy. Okay. We like you a lot, but we got to change up some things before we even get to the end of the game. 8:55 to go in the third quarter, and you're down 17-14. You got 4th and 1 on your own 18. On your own 18, 4th and 1, and he goes for it. Now, my guess is that like Ben Volen is somewhere like at home, like absolutely loving this move because he's like, Captain, go for it.
Yeah.
But how the hell on 4th and 1, 17-14 in a game, can you go for it? Like, you know, if you get it, okay, you got 1st and 10 from your own 19. What did you do? Did you win the game? Are you going to win the game by doing this? Because you certainly can lose the game, which in the end, it gave up 3 more points, and you could look at it that way. So it might have cost them the game. Just a stupid bonehead call. These people going for all the time.
See, this is what they call when keeping it real goes wrong. Keeping it real. So he's got this whole like philosophy where this is who we are and this is what we do. And it's just so stupid because, you know, he lives that like wild, wild west, you know, gunslinger mentality, is that we're going to go for it no matter what. And this is the type of situation where it bites you in the ass. Well, sure enough, they don't get it. The Raiders get points. The Chargers get the ball back again. They can't do anything with it. Next thing, the Raiders get the ball back again. They go down and score again. Now, listen, I give him credit. Like in the fourth quarter, they had 5 fourth down conversions. And that last drive, they had 3 fourth and 10 conversions.
17 play drive. It only took 2 minutes.
Yeah. So I get it. I get it.
20 minutes in real time.
Minutes of real time.
It was ridiculous. But that's just, he deserves to lose the game. Now, he still got his team. They tied it up. Each side kicks a field goal. And then you're starting to sit there and go, why don't they just tie? Instead, it's like one of those like crazy duels where each of you are exhausted. Each of you want the same thing. They wouldn't play each other if they just tied. The Steelers wouldn't have been in the game. The Steelers, who were just sitting there waiting for this game to end, trying to realize, is this really going to end
in
a tie?
After they completed that pass, beautiful pass to Zay Jones, they created a first and 10 on the Chargers 45. There's 2 minutes to go. And they ran Jacobs for minus a yard, and the clock just kept running. Neither side's calling timeouts. So they run Jacobs again for seven. And now you create a third and four. No one's calling a timeout. And you're thinking, okay, you're on like the 46-yard line right now. Actually, it was a 39-yard line. You had third and four. And you're the Raiders, and you're sitting there. You're the coach, Bisaccia. Is that his name?
Yep.
And you think, okay, they're not calling a timeout. All right, we're going to run Jacobs again. And if we don't get it, it'll be fourth down. We'll let the clock run. We both go to the playoffs. Or if he does get it, I don't know, maybe we just sort of put a knee down there and, you know, we're still only going to be at like the 34, 32, whatever it is. Maybe we'll kneel on again. We'll both go to the playoffs. And this guy calls a timeout, Staley, which changes the vibe. They're trying to read each other's minds, right?
Yeah.
Completely changes the vibe. Because now Bisaccia is sitting there saying, Jesus, you just burned a timeout. Like, if we run Jacobs and get stuffed, you're going to burn another one? And we're going to punt to you with, you know, 35 seconds to go? And what are you going to do, try to throw a couple Hail Marys and beat our ass? Like, are we on the same page here or not? Like, what are we doing?
It just
changed the whole vibe. Like, they were going to run it no matter what, and they might have still got the yards. I don't know. But it changed the whole, hey, are we in this thing together? Remember the whole COVID? Like, we're in this together. Yeah. Let's go. We can go to the postseason.
Did you hear him, Bisaccia, talk about, because nobody was hiding this. This was a real thing, and I don't blame him for wanting
your goal
to
is to make the postseason, period.
That's
end of story.
It doesn't matter. So before the game started, it was like, oh, what if they just both keep taking knees?
They're not going to do that.
This actually ended up looking like it was going to happen naturally because no one's going to score in overtime. And it wasn't like the Super Bowl world, no matter what, you have to keep going. I want to play Bisaccia like after the game because somebody actually asked him about what was going on and were they even talking about it.
We were talking about it. You know, I don't know if you know, we ran the ball there and they didn't call a timeout. So I think they were probably thinking the same thing, you know, and then we had the big run through there. And when we got the big run, it got us, we thought it was advantageous field goal position for us. We were going to take the field goal and try to win it. But we were certainly talking about it on the sideline. We wanted to see if they were going to call a timeout or not on that run. They didn't, so we thought they were thinking the same thing. And then we popped the run in there and gave us a chance to kick the field goal to win it. So we're certainly talking about it.
I know, and you know that I know that we both want to tie.
If Staley doesn't call a timeout, and they pop that 10-yard run, do they even attempt a field goal? Or do they attempt the field goal because this idiot called the timeout and tried to steal it and actually tried to win the game and beat them and get the ball back to try to win it? Like, I'm not so sure they do it because you could argue that Bisaccia made a mistake even trying to kick the field goal.
Yeah, so and
there's Staley, no need to.
He was trying to say that, you know, his reasoning was that he knew they were going to run the football. So he wanted to make sure he had his run defense out there.
Yeah, listen, this was actually Staley after the game. They asked him, and this was his reasoning.
I don't think it changed their mindset because they were going to run the ball on the play before, and then they ran the ball the very next play. So we wanted to make sure that we got our run defense in there. And we, you know, we obviously didn't execute well enough, but we wanted to get our premium one-back run defense in here.
How'd that work? They got 10 yards on a kick.
No, it didn't work at all.
You put your best run defense out there.
Can I also mention that run defense is ranked number 30 in the league as far as giving up rushing
yards? Yeah, he doesn't care about giving up rushing yards, right? Like, I didn't even know he had a number one rushing defense unit because they just don't care about giving up runs. Nope, I mean,
but
rushes.
You had to get him out there.
But it's honestly, I think that changed the vibe. These two coaches, you know, always remember like the Super Bowl, like Bill looking across
Pete Carroll
trying to read his mind. So Bisaccia's out there. It's like first down. They just got a completion to Zay Jones. They're on the 45. They're not exactly in field goal range. And he runs Jacobs for minus one. He looks over. You know, it's second and 11. You know, you got basically after that run, you had probably a minute 50 to go. After a minus one, second and 11, he looks over. No timeout. And he's like, okay. All right, we're good. We're on the same page here. Right? You run it down to 122. He lets the clock go.
I know.
And then he runs Jacobs again. He's like, okay, we're on the same page here again.
He screwed up.
And then,
completely screwed up.
Before they snap it, he calls timeout. Yeah. Like, they ran that play. There was like 58 seconds or whatever it was to go. And the clock's just running. It gets down to 38. And a guy calls time.
Yeah.
And it just changes the whole vibe of, I thought we were in this thing together.
Yeah, I thought you said something that was interesting. Like, what would it be like? Like, what was Ben Roethlisberger doing watching this game? Because they were in, but if they tied that game, he was not in the playoffs. Just by that, just by the tie. Like, and the odds of that happening it's so rare for us. So I think the only team this year with a tie I've seen with the Steelers, and I don't know who they tied. Steelers, I don't know who the other team
that
was.
That would be the Detroit Lions.
It was the Lions.
Oh, yeah, the Lions.
They tied the Lions?
Yeah, they did.
Holy cow. Holy cow. Yeah, so that's it. So it's rare.
I underestimated the hatred for Ben Roethlisberger locally. I did.
Why?
Because I actually tweeted out, like, listen, I'm not a huge Ben Roethlisberger fan, but I do respect the career he's had. You know, I do think he's probably a Hall of Famer. And I didn't think it was right. I felt bad for him to be sitting down watching TV and because of a tie, his career's over. You know, like he's sitting there watching the game going, okay, as long as somebody wins, my career's not over. I get to go to the playoffs. I have one more game. And he's watching this game, and it's a tie game late. And he's on the couch. I don't know.
Eating a salad.
Maybe he's got a beautiful bottle of champagne. He's ready to uncork because he's about to realize he's actually retired. He'll never play football again because of this freaking tie.
What a crazy.
Like, I felt bad for him. And people were just like, I don't. It's the way his career should end. He sucks. I hate Ben.
Oh, what a surprise.
At least he didn't end in jail where he should end up. I mean, it was like off the charts hatred.
He thinks Brandon Staley's a genius, by the way.
Yeah, I just.
He loves Brandon Staley.
Yeah, he does. I just didn't think it was, like, you know, the right way for any career to end. You might not like the guy, but I just thought that was a weird thing. Let's go to a couple of calls here. We got some Charger fan, had Raiders fans. Let's go to Brock in Middleborough. Brock, what's up?
How's it going? I'm a big Raiders fan, so I'm happy. But two things about Staley. Somebody needs to play him the speech from the end of Moneyball. This game isn't about analytics.
Yep.
Sometimes you just punt the ball. But the timeout, I mean, it's crazy. Brian Flores doesn't have a job, and Staley does. But I think that was a perfect example of they were playing chicken. He blinked. Bisaccia kicked the field goal to say, well, that timeout took you out of the playoffs. Because they easily, the smarter play would have just been to kneel it again, not risk any type of block. But I think they kicked the field goal with their kicker because that was Bisaccia making Staley pay the price. Because that was an unconscionable timeout that he called. It took him out of the playoffs 100%. Very rarely can you point to one exact thing, but that was it. He doesn't call it during the playoffs, and I think that's the only reason they kicked the ball is to take the Chargers out of the playoffs because of that decision.
Brock,
you don't
agree.
Put a team together with a computer, Billy.
I agree, and I tell you, I do think that there are some, like, old school coaches. I don't know Bisaccia that much that sort of look at the young whippersnapper analytic guys. You know, I can remember some of the managers, like in AL East, when Joe Maddon doing his thing. You know, down in Tampa, sipping on his wine. After the game.
What, they dress up before they get on the plane?
Right. All these wacky things. They couldn't wait
to
beat his
mariachi
ass. You know what I mean? With all, like, the analytics they were doing in Tampa, and I'm smarter than you and all this stuff. They couldn't wait to beat his ass. And I guarantee that timeout, Bisaccia's like, you know what? I should probably kneel on it. No, Carlson, go out there. Kick this thing. End that season. Send their ass home. I was willing to go and play along and have both of us go. But you know what? No. Because he shouldn't have kicked it.
No,
he might have been a 1% chance of it returning for a touchdown, but there was no reason. Your goal is to get to the playoffs. He did that just to get the Chargers out.
Well, good then.
Yeah. Let me go to a Chargers fan. Let's see how he feels. David Fall River, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? Not a chance that they were going to kneel on that ball and let the Chargers into the playoffs. The rivalry between the Chargers and the Raiders, this is what that guy in Brockton was just called, is so deep that there was no chance in hell that Raiders coach is going to have to kneel on that ball. The time just kept winding down. It came down to third and four, third down, four to go. And if it ended up coming down to fourth down, he was still going to march Carlson out there to kick it. Because I got to give the devil his due. Carlson was money last night. But let me ask you guys a question now.
Sure.
If that's Buffalo, and the Patriots playing last night, do you really think Bill Belichick is going to turn around and say, hey, you know something, why don't we just take a knee here? So we can all sing Kumbaya in the playoffs together, fellas. Baloney. He never does it. The Raiders coach wanted to put the Chargers out of the playoffs, deservedly so. They played a good game. There was a lot of questionable calls last night, but Staley is the one that lost that game for us.
Okay? Oh, listen, Dave, we agree.
On the fourth down, on their own 30-yard line?
18.
Are you kidding me?
That was it.
18, you're a Charger fan.
That was it.
18-yard line.
That was
third and one. And 18. I disagree, by the way, with what he's saying, though.
Which part?
I'm just like the Raiders. You're under 45. You ran Jacobs for minus one.
Yeah.
So you're not in field goal range yet. It's 2 minutes to go. You got to get in field goal range.
Yes.
So what did you do? You ran Jacobs again for seven. Is that you know what I mean? Does that make sense? So then, like, you're still not in field goal range. Like, you're at the 46 or whatever it was, and you end up running it again. You didn't throw the ball.
Yeah.
Like, if you are trying your ass off to get the field goal range to win that football game, you on second and 11, I don't think you're running it. I think you're throwing it on second and 11. The fact that he ran it and the clock just kept ticking, I think tells you all you need to know about it. I just, whatever. I just do. All right, this hour, Maloney and Fourier, is brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. Let's dive back into this Patriots game a little bit. Tough loss down in Miami, but we've seen it before. Now 2-9. 2-9 in the month of December and January for Bill Belichick down in Miami. Who are you more concerned about? Is it this defense or the play of the rookie quarterback? We'll talk about it next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, Maloney and Fourier here reacting another loss down in Miami for these New England Patriots. And fortunately, I mean, you said right from the beginning. You know, 7-0 right down the field. It goes to pick 6, 14-0. I don't think there was a Patriots fan really surprised or shocked because we've seen it before. How do you explain
about
being
the
two
pick 6?
I'm just saying 2-9. I'm just saying, well, the Patriots team not showing up down in Miami. Seen unbelievable Patriot team showing up against horrible Miami Dolphin teams and lose down there. They are 2-9. Bill Belichick is 2-9 in Miami in December and January. You can't explain it. It's like Indianapolis down in Jacksonville.
I can't explain.
Now
seven straight. That is ridiculous.
Seven straight.
Ridiculous.
And they needed to win. No excuse.
And it was like the most important game of the year. They had started off like 1-3 or something like that. It was a terrible start. And they had dug themselves out of such a ginormous hole. And they beat all these good teams. And then to make it into the playoffs, that's the performance. So Carson Wentz, terrible. Get rid of him. Not worth
Awful.
It.
Awful.
Not worth it at all. Jonathan Taylor suddenly can't run. Like, what happened? Like, what happened? So, you know what? And then, I don't know if you saw this, but so the fans of Jacksonville all decided they're going to dress up in clown outfits.
Yeah.
They're going to dress up in clown outfits to kind of protest the fact that Balky, their GM, was keeping his job. And it's a clown show. So they want, what do? They showed up and they beat the tar, beat the heck out of the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, so, you know, that's, again, a trend. The Colts have lost 7 straight now going to Jacksonville, but your New England Patriots going to Miami. And they dropped this game 33-24. And, you know, you look at this team. They start the year off 1-3, undisciplined, losing games that we're just not used to seeing the New England Patriots lose. Penalties, special teams, stupid penalties at the wrong time, turnovers, you name it. And how do they end the season? 1-3. You know, losing games in uncharacteristic fashion. You know, turning the ball over, stupid penalties, bad mistakes on the special teams like we saw yesterday as well. I mean, it's like you start the year 1-3, you end the year 1-3. In the middle, you're like 8-1. But in the end, I think you're actually, you know, you're kind of what you were at the beginning and the end, aren't you? The beginning, the middle might look like, you know, the fake stuff when it comes to this team.
So the middle is the outlier.
I think so.
So the middle is not who you are. The middle is the outlier. Who you really are is the 1-3 in the first 4 games of the season and the 1-4 in the last 4 games of the season.
Well, I'm just, you know, when I look at it, it's like the beginning of the middle of the year when they were winning all these games, you're like, is it really real? It was, you know, like the whole Boogeyman, you know, 2019, like, is it real? Jeez, every time they play a team, you know, they don't have their best running backs, you know, out in Cleveland. They don't have anybody in Tennessee. You play a hurricane game up in Buffalo, which neutralizes their passing attack.
That was their height of your feel-good.
You play Atlanta, even, a team that you should beat anyways, but without Cordarrelle Patterson and, Ridley, the wide receiver, goes on a sabbatical. You know, mental health needs some time away. Like, it just seemed like every team you were playing. And then all of a sudden, now you start playing better competition at the end of the year, and you finish the year exactly the way you started.
And I would say, like, do you think, so they started the year pretty crappy. And the one thing you kept hearing was uncharacteristic, stupid, bad coaching, team isn't listening, they can't get through to them. Why do they keep making these stupid mistakes? But they fixed it. They fixed it. So they went on a 7-game winning streak.
Did they?
And all those issues didn't exist anymore. The penalties went down. The fake punt, the turnovers went down by the offense. It went up by the defense. Like, you were the one dictating terms, not being the one panicking and trying to catch up. So, I mean, I ask you, do you think now that that's over, that they can turn it around and fix the mistake that plagued them?
No, I don't.
In the last three, four
games.
You
said they fixed it in the beginning.
Did
they fix it, or the competition level just go down, way down? You know, the Charger was the best win they had. That team's not a playoff team. You know, then they beat the Bills in a hurricane, and then they beat the Tennessee Titans with nobody. You know what I mean? So did the level of competition go down? And because of that, were they always allowed to play games on their terms, get ahead, pound the football? You know, take advantage of bad quarterback play with interceptions left and right. And then when the competition got a little bit better, they got their teeth kicked in. You know, and those 3 losses against the Bills, the Colts, and then the Dolphins, they were trailing 57-7, 17-0, 17-7, and 20-0. Or something like 20, 20, and 17 they were down. It was just ridiculous. Down 17 points early.
They have
and
not.
You can talk about like Mack and how he played in the fourth quarter and everything,
well,
but he had a lot
to
do with, you know, the comeback against Indy was nice, but he had a lot to do with the fact that they were down a lot, just like yesterday.
Yeah.
So I would ask you, are you more concerned about the quarterback play of Mac Jones recently, or are you more concerned about the defense on this football team?
All right, so I'll put it this way. So I'm going to say defense, and here's why. Because I would say that even though the offense, most of the time, put the defense in this crappy position where they needed to hold the line and fight until the offense put more points on the board. The offense, even though they were behind, they were able to at least put themselves in striking distance, 3 points, 1 possession. The defense, on the other hand, like when it comes to crunch time, when it comes to gotta have it plays, signature defensive plays that like allow your offense to get back on the field, they have failed. And there's no way to sugarcoat. There's no way to kind of, you know, gloss over it. Like, they failed. I can point to one play in every one of these losses, Lou. And if I just gave you the down and distance, I guarantee you can tell me the game. You want to actually, let's try that. I'm going to give you a down and distance that the defense was in, and you tell me what game it was.
I don't know if I can do it.
I think you can.
Go ahead.
3rd and 25.
Oh, I got that one. Dallas.
That's Dallas. Do you remember how many yards Dallas got on 3rd and 25? They didn't get all of it.
No, they got 24.
They got 24 yards.
But what did they need that 24 yards for? A game-tying field goal. It was 3rd and 25. And because you gave up 24, you didn't get a first down. But it allowed them to kick a field goal to go to overtime.
Yeah.
That game was won.
So you had that game won. Your offense did its job. The defense couldn't hold the line. Okay, let me give you another one. Oh, let me go.
That was the easy one.
Fourth and two.
Buffalo.
Do you remember the play?
Josh Allen.
Designed run. Two guys, veteran players, in a position to stop the clock and get the ball back to the offense. And your two best players couldn't do it.
Now, you weren't winning in that game.
But you came back.
You were down five with 7.5 minutes to go.
That was it.
And you couldn't get off the field. You allowed a 13-play, 75-yard drive that took over five minutes to go, and that game was over.
Okay, let me do a couple more because you're pretty good. You're 2-0 right now.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to do this anymore.
Second and eight.
Oh, that's Indy. Indianapolis, not winning that game either. However, right? I mean, you were sitting there. You're down 3 points. You came all the way back. Down 3 points. He had 221 to go, and you allowed a 67-yard touchdown run to Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, and you had two of your best players. Again, last one because I feel like you're too good at this. First and 15. This one's tricky. First and 15.
Oh, that's Miami.
First time you played Miami.
Yeah, Damian Harris.
How many yards did you get?
You got enough.
You got 14.
14 to make it second one.
Yeah, so 3rd and 25, you get 24. First and 15. And then they ended up running the clock out. So to your point, I mean, and I'm leaving out New Orleans, where they get the ball back and they go on a 75-yard run. I mean, they just chew the clock up like crazy. I'm going to take out the 3rd and 8 from yesterday, where it's 3rd and 8, and you basically are
down
3.
Why would you take it out? Include them.
Well, I didn't include. Yeah. It wasn't one of your questions, but the point is that's another
3rd
one.
3rd and 8. And we got Matthew Judon. You know, we played the sound earlier about from, who was it? It was Kyle Van Noy. Like earlier in the year, he was on a podcast. They were talking about, I think it was Chris Long. Was asking about, hey, why does Judon be able to go 10 yards past, you know, 10 yards deep? Why doesn't he go level with the quarterback? And again, this is a thing from the edge rushers with the New England Patriots. Behind the quarterback is no man's land. Like racing back behind the quarterback and him sit up in the pocket is no man's land. And Van Noy chuckled and said, you know, whatever. No
the
comment.
One thing I was surprised about is that dude, he gets carte blanche to run the hoop at 9-10 yards, doesn't he?
No comment, bro.
So they don't like that. So it's like get even with the quarterback. Keep him in the pocket. So on that 3rd and 8, Judon goes 10 yards out and ends up behind him. And I know everybody, he was held. He was held. They didn't call it. Okay, get over it. The bottom line is he went 10 yards out past Tua. And where did Tua run? Right where he probably should have been if he just stayed at 6 yards. Like they always tell these guys. But he is carte blanche, and he can do whatever the hell he wants. And because of it, Tua was able to get out and run for
eight yards. Well, yeah, and he was successful early on to the point where everyone's like, okay, defensive player of the year, defensive player of the year.
And then we lost Barmore.
Well, then it dries up, and you're like, okay, listen, now, if you're going to do it, you better get sacks. If you're going to do it and you're going to allow a first down or you're not going to get a sack, well, then it's no longer an attaboy play.
Yeah.
It's a you're an idiot.
And if you contain Tua, like you should have, 6-7 yards downfield, not 10.
Game over.
Maybe Barmore doesn't go down.
So to your question, the answer is, my opinion,
defense.
It's the defense because they're doing the same things they did early on in the season, and they're doing it now. Because I went and looked at it. I'm trying to figure out, like, was it Mac Jones' fault? Like, okay, because I kept saying how good it wasn't Mac Jones' fault. In the fourth quarter of these losses, he's been money. He's been driving down the field. He hasn't been your problem. He's put you in position to win, but the defense has let you down. But I just ran the numbers. Out of all the losses, he is in just in losses, fourth quarter, come from behind type plays, right? Opportunities.
He's been good, just falls short.
He's 55-95 for 95, 6 TDs, 3 interceptions.
Well, that's not good.
Okay. But then what it is, I took Buffalo out, okay, because he was 4-12 for 63 yards, and he had an interception. That was his worst game of his career. If I take that game out, he's 51-83, 6 TDs, 2 interceptions, 61% completion percentage. So he's not great. He's not 70%.
I thought he'd be better than that.
But I did think he'd be better than that. But to your original point, like from weeks and weeks and weeks ago, like there is a lot of doubt that's starting to creep into my head as far as what I think he's capable of doing. Because the whole seeing is believing.
Mm.
Like
Polar Express.
There's a reason why you haven't been able to see it.
Polar Express.
There's a reason why.
Why is that?
You haven't been able to see it.
Why is that?
Because they can't do it.
Oh.
Because it feels like they can't do it.
Wait, they or he?
So yesterday he was 9 for 9.
They or he?
9 for 9. He. Hmm. He. He was 9 for 9.
So far.
Because I thought the numbers were like.
Don't
were,
hate
I
on
thought
him.
The numbers
so far.
Were better.
You're too mean.
Well,
you
hold
don't
on.
Want to be let down to Primrose Bath.
See, yesterday he was 9 for 9 in the fourth quarter, 118 yards, one TD.
Which against, really skewed his numbers, by the way.
Yeah, and against Indy, he was 10 of 22, 142 yards, two touchdowns. And he also threw two picks. And Miami, in New Orleans, he was 10 of 19 for one TD interception. Tampa, he was 8 for 12. Dallas, only 4 for 7. But then in overtime, he was 1 for 3, but he also had that drop. So I want to give him an incomplete grade. But I do wonder if the Patriots get all these stops that we talk about. So they stop, they sack Tua, they get the ball back. They stop Jonathan Taylor. They stop Josh Allen on 4th and 2. And if he's got a minute and 40 seconds, can he march you down the field?
You haven't seen it.
Like it hasn't even. Here's the thing: it hasn't even come up.
No, it hasn't.
It hasn't because the defense hasn't given you the opportunity to do it. So the problem ultimately, I'm sorry, I don't care if the offense puts you in that position. When it matters and the circumstances change, the defense, you guys got to play better.
See, I agree.
And they're not.
I think it is the defense for this version of this football team, 2021. Again, you go to every single loss, you know, all 7 of them. You know, I mean, you had the lead against Tampa Bay, and you let Brady go down and get the field goal, which I don't, you know, you can't really blame them because it's Tom Brady. I get it. But in every single loss, you had an opportunity to stop this other team,
yep,
and let Mac Jones come back down, whether it's down 5, 6, 2, 3, whatever, 1, and it hasn't happened. So I would agree it's the defense for this team. You know, concerns? I think you're always concerned about your quarterback moving forward. You know what I mean? You want to see it. And like you always get on me, Polar Express Lou, wanting to see it. Yeah, I still want to see it. We get into the whole, like, testing Mac Jones. I mean, this is a guy that for the first, you know, 13 weeks of the year, I guess 12, because week 13 he didn't play. He only had 3 passes. But he was 9-4, 70% completion percentage, 16 touchdowns, 8 picks, 97 rating. The last 4 weeks, and that goes with this, you know, the game against Jacksonville. The last 4 weeks, he's 1-3, 59% completion percentage, 6 touchdowns and 5 picks, and a 79 quarterback rating. Like, that's...
See, and
is there a coincidence that you happen to play like 3 teams that are pretty good out of those 4? I don't think so.
Well, see, ultimately, I think it's not necessarily because I don't think he can do it, because I do think, like, if you gave him 6 chances down, you know, 3 points or needs a touchdown, down 2, needs to get a field goal, get into field goal range, I think out of the 6 opportunities, I think he'll probably be successful out of 4 of them. But the fact is that the defense has not given you one opportunity. And that's just the defense. Okay, now, I do believe that Mac picked the worst time in the world to realize he's a rookie. Like, worst possible time to realize he's a rookie. He played like crap. He made some stupid, stupid mistakes. We're talking about the very first interception in yesterday's game. The delay of game that he had, the false start that he got a flag on, he fumbled the snap. These are rookie mistakes. Like, I'm nervous for him as far as his ability to freaking talk himself out of it. Like, this is a problem. Like, constantly getting baited, getting sucked into these traps, you know, taking the cheese, having defenses make you look silly. He's been bad. And, like, he picked the worst time to play like a rookie. And it's he's the reason. So you go out there, the defense, okay, fine, whatever. Tua was great. He's like 5 for 5, whatever. He plays great. They get 7 points. On the third play, it's 3rd and 2. You throw a pick. You threw a pick. Like, you wonder why he talks about he was so embarrassed. And it wasn't even like he just saw it.
They
and
baited
threw
him
it.
On that one.
Yeah, but I almost feel like that's his fault. Like, he keeps talking to us about, hey, you know what, listen, I'm not going to be nervous. I'm not going to be scared. I think that hurt him in that situation. Like, they realized that he was going to catch it and throw it. Hell, they were probably listening to us interview him and say, listen, if you guys show it, he's going to read it quick and he's going to throw it. Wait for him to commit and then jump the route. Safety, come down real deep and take the go route so he can't throw it there. That's exactly what Xavier Howard did. Interception, pick 6 goes the other way.
Listen, I think this is all part of, you know, having a rookie quarterback, you know, and
yeah, it's
and,
happening at the wrong time.
Well, it is. There's no question about it. And it's not about, you know, how he looks. Listen, I don't think it's going to go well on Saturday against Buffalo, you know, but this is all about like the hope. This is all about like seeing what he can be next year, you know, and then hopefully next year there's another level, you know, and hope maybe, you know, it comes down to the weapons that they give him. But you're right. I mean, he's looking like, you know, a rookie quarterback. And, you know, the last four games, as I mentioned, some of these numbers, you take out the 73 completion percentage and the three touchdowns against Jacksonville, man, and some of those numbers are really ugly. You know, you're talking about like 57% completion percentage, three touchdowns, five picks, you know, going up against Buffalo, Indy, and Miami. You know, when the competition got a little stiffer, and that Buffalo game in the windstorm, whatever, 2 for 3, 19 yards, he didn't even play in that game. So this is that test stuff that I'm talking about. You know, that everybody, you know, you want to crown him. Is he having a great year for a rookie? Sure. As far as just a quarterback leading a team to the playoffs, right now, I mean, great that there's two new teams in the playoffs. I'd still put him again above Ben Roethlisberger right now, you know, the way he plays. But not above Carr.
I almost sit there and I go, like, he's the best rookie quarterback. What does that even mean?
Well, the other four quarterbacks suck. Like, what is that? Is that so like a big thing?
No, I'm trying to think. I guess it's like, are you like the skinniest fat guy? Like, what does that even mean? Is that some sort of like backhanded compliment for you? Like, so you're the best out of the worst. it's like our segment on Friday. It's like, here's the best of our worst.
All right, so regular season's over. 17 games in the books. You got playoffs. It starts tomorrow. So you look back at Mac Jones. What grade would you give him? Like, how would you evaluate Mac Jones? And I do want to talk about him comparing him to a guy that gets absolutely trashed around here locally that I think they're pretty similar. We'll do that next on Maloney and Fourier.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, welcome back to Maloney and Fourier talking about this Patriots loss. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. Going into the weekend, Fourier, who did you think was the best matchup for the New England Patriots come playoffs, first round?
Wait, before the game?
Yeah, before the
It was the Bills. I wanted the Bills.
Yep. I think a lot of people wanted the Buffalo Bills. Here's the good news. You got the Bills.
You do.
You got what you wanted. Yeah. Does it matter if it's 3-6 or 4-5? Like, what is the difference?
I love how you're painting a rosy picture. Like, this is like
you got what you wanted.
It's like your own version of Moral Victory Monday.
You win
it's
that
a
game.
Very weird.
You get Cincy.
Thing that's going on.
I'm just saying you get that.
I don't
you win
know.
That
I
game,
tell you what.
Cincy.
After the game, I did want. So before the game, I wanted Buffalo, but based on how they played, I'd rather have played Cincy, to be honest with
no.
you.
No,
I wanted a young coach. I wanted a young quarterback. I wanted an inexperienced playoff team that somehow would make Bill
no.
like a greater, like, you know, make them a liability. Like, the Bills, they don't give a crap. They're not intimidated by you. Neither is Tennessee. There's none of those teams that are in the playoffs are
no,
intimidated by
I think,
you.
I think the comparison with the Red Sox this year continues. I think in your wild card round, you got the most drama. Which was the Yankees? You don't want the Blue Jays. You want drama. You want Yankees for one game.
The Bills are the Yankees.
Well, the Bills.
I guess they are.
The Bills
I guess
the drama.
They need to be.
I mean, you both
back
split. You're
AFC
in the division.
East champs, yeah.
This Sean McDermott thing. This Josh Allen thing. You know, and the Patriots and Bill and Buffalo and yeah, this is the drama game. You know, you've 1-1. Here we go. Part three. Rock and roll. Like you got the game. If it's only going to last for one game, you know, the playoffs are only going to last one weekend. So be it. You get the drama. I think you're looking for. But I'll ask you, we were talking about Mac Jones earlier. 17 games are in the books. And you talk about the rookie wall. He played more games than any rookie has ever played. Any
yeah.
regular season schedule anyone's yeah. ever played. 17 games. How would you grade Mac Jones' his first year in the league?
I would give him.
Now, I'm saying factor in everything.
No, I am. So
the fact he's a rookie.
Yep.
17, all of
yep.
it.
Yep.
All
made
it.
The playoffs.
Made the playoffs.
That's impressive. Listen, in consideration for Offensive Rookie of the Year.
He won't win it.
Okay. I don't think he will either based on his last performance. But I'm going to give him a solid B. I think he deserves a B. Yeah. B it is. He's not A. He's not C. He's not C+. He's like right in the middle. Like he's good, you know, but he was for the most part consistent. And that's what I would actually require of my young quarterback. And Bill talks about it. Said he's the most consistent rookie he's ever had. Consistently monotonous, consistently boring, consistently what? Doesn't matter. The fact is, I think Bill recognized early on that what you see is what you get with Mac. What would you give him?
C+.
We're not too far off.
No, C+. Because I just, you know, and I know it's a rookie, and you know, again, if you're grading his rookie year, but you know, the whole thing, like he's the best rookie of the class. Like I would look at Trevor Lawrence, number one pick in the draft, and I would say he gets like a D. You know, I would say Zach Wilson, same thing. You know, maybe even a D-. You know, I mean, these guys.
And Trey Lance. And
like Trevor Lawrence, just, I don't know, he sees flashes with the arm, but, I mean, both those guys are in bad spots. Trey Lance started 2 games. You know, Justin Fields, very similar.
Like
he didn't
incomplete.
Play much either. Yeah, those guys you don't even know. Lance, I don't know, maybe he got a little bit better as the year went on. Who knows? But I would say, you know, C+. You know, I just think that he's, you know, middle of the road, and it's almost like C-, as far as, like, non-rookie quarterback play, like just average quarterback play. But the fact that he's a rookie, I think I'll bump him up to a C+, because I can't start diving into like the B's and the A's. You know, as impressive as he was as a rookie, and he went above and beyond, or maybe gave you what you hoped.
Isn't C+ below average?
He probably gave you what you hoped.
Well, you don't think that's B worthy? Because an A would be above and beyond my expectations.
C is average.
I was going to say, is that C?
So
C+.
C+.
Yeah.
Slightly, a little sliver.
Slightly above average.
Little sliver
Look,
above average.
You never got any C's in your life. Come on, Poirier.
What does that look feel like?
C's
get
degrees. C's get degrees.
Because if I took the rookie label out of him, I'd probably give him like a C-. He was just...
If you took the rookie out of it, you would give him a D? Basically a D?
No, it's not a D. If you give him a C-, then it's a D+. What grading system did you use in your school?
A 70 is a D, is a C minus.
73. Still a C minus.
Okay, still a C minus. To me, a C minus is basically a D. Your teacher just feels has sympathy for you.
I mean, listen, he had 3,800 yards, 225 yards a game. He had 13 picks, he had 20, whatever it was, 3 touchdowns. Like that's, and you look at it, he was just middle of the pack and everywhere. QBR, yards, touchdowns, interceptions. I mean, he's ranked anywhere from 15 to 18, like throughout the league. Like, that is just, you know, if you took the rookie status away, you'd say that's average.
He's just an average,
you know, to be honest
safe
with you,
quarterback.
A lot of those average quarterbacks with those numbers had that one or two game where you sat there and said the guy won the game for him. You know, and that just never happened. He never had the opportunity to. I'm not killing him for it. You know what I mean? But it just didn't happen.
See, the problem is,
so
like,
it's just C+. Yeah.
So he's
okay.
What we were praising him for earlier on in his career, like, I guess, you know, you kind of understood that there was going to be some growing pains early on, and even though they weren't that bad for a rookie. And then he kind of went on this nice little run, seven-game winning streak. Remember the first time he threw a touchdown pass? You remember the first time Jacoby Myers finally got a touchdown pass? Remember those days?
I don't think he had, growing pains, to be honest with you.
No, but it wasn't terrible. Like, he didn't. And that's why I think it's so odd that he's suddenly falling apart now.
Well, that's
like,
my problem.
Now he's fatigued.
My problem is that that's where the grade has fallen, I would say, in the last, you know, couple weeks of the semester. You know, the last 4 weeks.
Like, he's just already got his bags packed. He's thinking about summer vacation.
Like, the game up in Buffalo. Like, I would give him, like, an excused absence for COVID.
Incomplete.
Yeah, he just didn't show up that day. You know, it's no big deal. Like, a lot of the kids right now, right? Excused absence.
Like, my kids don't even have midterms because of COVID.
No big deal.
But they canceled midterms.
But you got to, I mean, I don't know how you can, you know, not look at, you know, the Indianapolis game, the Buffalo game, and what we saw in Miami and just be like, okay, that... I mean, that has to hurt him a little bit, right? But you have him at an A, and this got him down to a B the last 4 weeks.
I would say you should be concerned with what you're seeing right now. Like, this is a problem. Like, he's becoming unhinged and imploding before our very eyes, okay? And that was about – now, you hope that's the floor. You hope that – because yesterday's game, for all the mistakes that happened, you would like to think that that's the floor. The fact that he fumbled the snap and couldn't get it back – it's almost like, okay, what else can happen? But what else is going to happen to me? Like, it's like when they say it was when it happens, it's going to come in an avalanche form. That's exactly what happened.
All right, 17 games in the regular season is over. I'm curious, what grade would you give Mac Jones? 617-779-7937. Foe, yeah, you haven't given us the grade yet. Neither have you two behind the counter there, behind the
window. I gave you a grade.
No, no, no. I want to hear them both. I want to hear them both when we come back. That's next on Maloney and Foree.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.